The following audio is from New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.
In my life that I know very well. In fact, as I was reading this passage of scripture, I'll share with you that I'll share with you in a few moments. I felt as if I could go back to my former career as a sailor and pick up right where I had left off. And it almost as if I could, if my natural senses were coming alive as I was reading the text, like in my mind, I could feel and I could see and I could smell and I could hear and touch and even understand what I was actually seeing as the text unfolded as I was reading it. And so if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me to Acts, the 27th chapter, and for the sake of time, I'm only going to cover verses 27 through 32, so I don't want to hold you long, because I know some of y'all can't sit still for long, so I want to hold you for long, but I just want you to cover verses 27 through 32. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we were here together, this time that we're here together to worship you, Father God, to come together in fellowship, Father, Lord, to come together and receive your word. Lord, I ask on this day that you be magnified, Father God, Lord, that you would be made number one in this situation here, that I be diminished, Father God, and you would come forward, Father God. And so, Lord, I thank you for the hearts and the minds that are here to listen and to receive. And I pray, Father God, that as the word go forth, Father God, that it would touch hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, pray all these things. Amen. Now, the last thing that anyone wants to do is to stay on a ship that is in danger or when it's about to sink. Mm. And I'm sure you remember the movie, The Titanic, which sank in April of 1912. And if you watch the movie, no one wanted to stay on the ship when it was certain it was going down. But this is the advice that the Apostle Paul would give the men on the ship when it was certain that it was about to crash. You see, so often God tells us to do God often tells us to do his will, but we often go against the advice and accept the conventional wisdom of the world. For example, God told Joshua to do something that went against the wisdom of conventional war strategy. If you remember, he told Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 2 through 17, to march around the walls of Jericho one time a day for 6 days. And when you get there and you're marching around the wall, don't say a word. And then God said on the seventh day, you are to march around it 7 times. But when you come your way around the 7th time, you are to shout as loud as you can and the walls will come down. And I don't know about you, I can definitely tell you, George can probably tell you, anybody else who served it, this is not a strategy that's in any war books or any war strategy books anywhere around the world. You won't learn that this is a wartime strategy. And I'm certain it's not being taught in any naval or any army war college. Why? Because this is what God told them to do. And when God told them to do it, for them, it didn't make any sense. So in the same fashion when God told Noah to build an ark and it had never rained. How was the ark to float on dry land? It had never rained until this time before Noah had built the ark. So the Bible is full of stories like this where God will instruct his people to do something that went against man's wisdom. Why is that? It's because God is asking, can you trust me? Can you trust me when I'm telling you to do something that doesn't seem to make sense to you or the people around you in the world? It may seem like it doesn't even make sense to you, but God is asking, can you trust me? And this is what God has done with these people throughout history, and especially throughout the Bible. Now, by way of background, I'm going to give you some background before I get into the text. In the preceding text, we have Paul on a ship heading to Rome. And Paul advised the sailors on the ship not to set sail at this particular time because he sensed a dangerous storm was coming. But they didn't listen to Paul. And they sailed right into a strong wind, or as we know, a typhoon, which is a type of storm. And as the storm beat up on the ship, all hope to survive was lost, according to verse 20. And God sends an angel to speak to Paul in verse 23 to let him know that everyone on the ship would make it. And according to verse 26, but they had to run aground on a certain island. And this is where I pick up in verse 27. Verse 27 says, now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And then when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms, George. And now it had been approximately 2 weeks since they had set sail from Fair Havens, according to verse 8. And they were being tossed about in the Adriatic Sea. And at the end of verse 27, it says, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And historians say that, how did they know that they were drawing near land? They may have heard crashing, the crashing surf to the shore, but it was midnight. And according to verse 27, they weren't certain what was going on. All they knew is that they were getting close to land. And they didn't have what we have in the modern age of the day when we get close to land. We have sonar on the bottom of the ship that sends soundings down automatically, electronic soundings that hit the ocean floor. And depending on the speed in which those sounds return, we know how close we're getting to land. We know how close land is underneath the keel of the ship. They didn't have that type of technology. But I can tell you, 60 fathoms is 120 feet. I'm sorry, 20 fathoms is 120 feet. And it wasn't that much water underneath the ship. So they took soundings, which means that they took a weight and they tied a rope to it and lowered the weight in the water to see how deep it goes. And as the text goes on, they found out the water to be 20 fathoms, which I stated before is 120 feet deep. And then the second sounding, they found the water to be 90 feet deep. But let's look at verse 29. It says that, then fearing lest we run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as I was reading the text, I could put myself in their shoes. I know for a certain that running aground or being on a ship that is about to hit shore is not a very desirable thing for them. So the sailors dropped the four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But despite their actions, I want to draw your attention to the word pray. Not only did they put down not one, not two, but four anchors, they also prayed for day to come. And if we look back at verse 25, we'll find that Paul not only told them ahead of time that they were going to make it, but to also take heart. Why? Because Paul said, I believe God. Now, the intent of dropping the anchors was so that it would grab hold of something, would grab hold of rock or some type of coral structure in a way that it would stop the ship or slow it down from making additional headway, from continuing to go forward through the water. And something else I want to bring to your attention about storms is I want you to know that all of us are about to go into a storm or coming out of a storm or in the midst of a storm. We all fit in those three categories in life. No matter where you stand with God, either you're coming out of a storm, in the middle of a storm, or about to go into the storm. And sometimes you have to learn what type of storm, how storm works, so you can have a discernment of what type of storm you're in and what you need to do to get back to what you need to do when you're in the midst of the storm. So let me tell you, storms in our lives have a way of getting us back on track with God. A storm will have you doing just what these sailors did in the text. They dropped anchor. In other words, they stopped doing what they was doing and they prayed. They fell on their knees and prayed to draw closer to the Lord. And we'll see this exact thing in the life of Jonah, who disobeyed God. I don't know if y'all remember the story of Jonah, but God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He told him how to go to Nineveh. But Jonah decided to do something else. He disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God, God brought a storm of correction. And Jonah understood what the storm was about, and he knew it was about his disobedience. So he instructed the crew to toss him overboard. And when he tossed him overboard, the storm ceased. And as the text goes on, we know that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. But the text says, the text says in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Jonah prayed. He was in the storm. You see, sometimes it's not until we're in the midst of the storm and we're swallowed up by a great fish that it's finally we start praying like those lives of this, like those sailors did. You see, this is in this passage, this is a wonderful reminder that we cannot rely on our own skills, our ingenuity, or our ability during storms, because we will always come up short. And I want you to know something. These sailors, they weren't new. They didn't just get out of boot camp, or this wasn't their first time being at sea. These sailors were experienced sailors. I know this because I knew they weren't new to this, and I knew they had experience because they knew to throw the four anchors over the back of the boat so they could stop the ship from crashing ashore. But even with their experience and even with their skills, they could not stop the ship from crashing to the shore. In other words, sometimes God will allow us to come to the end of our skills, to the end of our abilities, to the end of our talents, to where we can do nothing but pray and depend on God, like we see here in the text. Oftentimes, I think we just know better. We just know better because at least we have a master's degree, or George may have a bachelor's degree, or someone may have a doctor's degree. And we spent all these years in school, 4, 8, 12 years in school outside of a post-secondary elementary school, a post-secondary education. We spent all these years in school to work on obtaining degrees, and we have our skills, and we have our knowledge, and we have our experience. And so we rely on those things when we're in the midst of the storm. And even though we're in the storm, we know it doesn't feel good because we want to find the quickest way out of it. But God says to stand still and know that He is God in the midst of the storm. See, God will allow your skills and your ability and your education to run out because He is standing still. And there's something that He needs you to learn in the midst of the storm you're in. And God is trying to bring you back to the basis, back to prayer. And I know we don't believe God tried to do anything. But I say He tries because we resist God, and therefore He allows us to have our way until we're finally willing to submit. God will allow you to be beat up by the storm of life, the storms of life, when you want to do things your own way, on your own volition, until you're willing to submit. And I imagine if I was to go to several churches today, if I was to join other Zooms or other lives on Facebook or whatever the case may be, and I was asked one question. If I was asked one question, the question would be, what is the one thing in your Christian life that you need more of? I guarantee you that the majority of the people say, I need to pray more. I need to pray a little bit more. And sometimes we can be in the midst of life itself, and God will allow a storm to get us back on the basis, get us back to the basis, back to the proper place, back to the place of prayer, back to communicating with Him. This is where we need to be. And this is not only where we need to be, this is where we need to stay. I remember a story when I lived in California. I belonged to a church, Life Christian Center, Chula Vista, California. And the pastor fell on the floor, and he asked me to get down and pick it up. And I kneeled down on the floor, and I tell you, boy, that floor was hard. And I got up and said, Doc, you don't have no pad underneath this carpet. He said, my carpet is fine. You need to exercise your knees and pray. So it was a reminder that sometimes we need to often remind ourselves that we need to get back to the place where we need to be, where we should have started. Denzel Washington once said that when he goes to bed at night, he puts his shoes far underneath his bed so that when he gets up, he's forced to kneel down and thank God for the night that he had for his life. He's forced because he's already on his knees. And if you study the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that it consistently points out the prayer life of Jesus. If Jesus prayed, what more you? He often withdrew himself and he prayed. And before choosing the disciples, he spent all night in prayer. How many of you spent all night in prayer? I haven't yet. In fact, Jesus would spend all night in prayer before he made a major decision. And God will oftentimes do this to us. He will allow us to go through a storm, to strip away our skills, to strip away our resources, so that nothing less but to look up and see God. And guess what, guys? This is where we are today. We got the pandemic around us, and there's obviously a division in the land. There's a division in the homes, and there's a division in the church. And if there's one thing we need to do more now than ever, we need to do more praying. Let's look at verses 30 and 32. It says, "And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurions and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes from the skiff and let it fall." So some of these sailors were so frightened that they were uncertain whether God would really answer their prayers. So they pretended to let down some anchors. The text says they let down anchors from a pretense. And so they were let down, but in reality, they were letting down the skiff or the lifeboat, as we know, to escape to land, according to verse 30. And see, fear and doubt will cause us to do a similar thing. While storms can get us back on our knees, waiting on God's answer, folks panic like these sailors and try to take matters back into their own hands. Here we are already praying, but God, you're not answering fast enough. God, I need an answer right now. When God says for me to stand still and know that I am God. And so it's very easy to do this. Yes, the storms that came and it moved us to pray, but the Bible says in Luke 18 and 1 that men are always to pray and not lose heart. So when it moved us back to pray, but as we're waiting on God to answer, guess what? We panic. God, I only got 24 more hours for this prayer. I need this prayer answered. I got 24 hours for this to happen. The doctor said that my loved one only has 12 hours left to live. God, I need you now. And God said, and so you go and you make decisions to do things on your own. And it's not what God told you to do. And so we take matters into our own hands. I watched Peace the Message using a Rubik's Cube, and I didn't have one today. But I took the Rubik's Cube, and I had the Rubik's Cube brand new out of the package with all the sides, all the colors facing the way they were supposed to face. And as I was sharing the message, I took the Rubik's Cube and I mixed it up. Because oftentimes when we're in life and we have a situation that we're going through, we have a storm we're going through, we want to handle things ourselves. And as I mixed the Rubik's Cube up pretty well, I wanted to illustrate that with all the colors mixed up, now we take the Rubik's Cube and we give it to God. The Rubik's Cube represented the problem and asked God to fix it. And knowing good and well, there's probably not very many of us that can solve a Rubik's Cube fully on here, but you get the point. Now, how did Paul react when he saw these sailors trying to escape? He told the centurion, which is a Roman captain with over 100 soldiers, that he told him in verse 31, that unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Which brings me to what I believe is the main point of this message. The main point is, don't abandon the ship. I know that the storm is raging and the winds may be beating intensely against you, and all of your instincts are telling you to bail out, abandon ship, give up, turn back, go away. But that's natural. You know why? Because your flesh is talking to you. But God is wanting you to do something supernatural in your life. However, you must stay in the ship. And the ship could be your marriage. The ship could be your job, or the ship could be whatever it is you're experiencing, whatever you experience difficulties in. Stay in the ship. Oh, and because I know this, I say this because I know folks jump ship too soon and they never learn the lesson that the storm was sent to teach us. And then what happens is we bring our toxic cells, because we never got a chance to be released of that toxicity or whatever the situation that we were trying to learn in the storm, that we were to learn in the storm, we bring that into another situation and we poison it. We go to another job and once again, we come home and we're yelling about the people on the job. And quite frankly, the common denominator is not the people on the job, it's you. We go from situation to situation, from job to job, and we find ourselves complaining about people when all the while is you. Why? Because you chose to jump prematurely from the ship before you learned the lesson. And I'm waiting, I'm watching this generation coming up today. And folks from my generation, I'm observing and I'm learning, especially in today's time, that we just don't have the stick-to-itiveness that the generations before us had. Otherwise, we don't have the coping skills that we were learning, that we had when we were growing up. Because oftentimes we have a problem and we go and we'll pull a tug on our parents' shoulder, or our parents' a sleeve, or our parents' a skirt and hem and express the problem. And instead of the parents saying, go back out there and resolve it, they'll go and fight the battle for them. They'll go and bail them out of the situation that they need to learn to handle themselves. And I remember when I got in trouble in school, my parents didn't go chew out the teacher. They chewed me out because I was the problem. How is it that you go from class to class and you find Jimmy always has a problem, but it's the teacher's fault? Or you find Sally or Susie is a tearing the class, but you fuss at the teacher. Not the teacher's fault. It's your child's fault. And oftentimes we come in a situation where God wants us to, we may have a coworker who rubs us aggressively in a way that we just doesn't feel comfortable. And that person, the Bible says that we are living stones, that we are all living stones. And that person may be there, God placed them in your life to smooth out a rough area in your life. But we choose to go and abandon ship. We never learned a lesson. We abandoned ship. And so we miss these coping skills. We miss those coping skills. And subsequently, our coping skills become inept. And so now as adults, God has to teach us some spiritual coping skills that we didn't learn naturally. And nowadays, when things are tough, we go bail out. We bail out and go somewhere where it's easier. I know that in my profession. I know that in the time in which a pastor was can talk about when he was coming up. People held their jobs longer. People would stay on the job and hold their job longer. In my profession, 2, maybe 5 years, see ya, next place, I'm gone. And even now today, you look at big business and industries, and they attract people. They know the generation today, y'all not sticking around. So we're going to give y'all some cereal and feed y'all on this day and do this on this day so we can attract y'all and come get y'all to work here for 5 minutes so then y'all can go and exit and go somewhere else. But I say that because in this generation, this society today, we don't have to stick to it. We don't have the coping skills that we had back in earlier times, during Minister Leonard's time, or during my mother-in-law Marilyn's time, or during my Aunt Sydney's time, or even during Pastor's time. The stick-to-itiveness is gone, and we are quick to bail out of situations before we learn what it is that God would have us to learn. And so I would like to encourage you today. If you're in a storm today, don't get it twisted. You're going to be in a storm if you're not in a storm now. Because either you're in a storm, or you're coming out of the storm, or you're going to go through a storm. Take the time to understand what God is trying to tell you while you're in the storm. Take the time to listen while you're in the storm. But just don't sit in the storm and wallow in it and wonder, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is so tough. That's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible says that we are conquerors. But you know where we get our courage from? Going on our knees and praying before God. And so I encourage each and every one of you that are online today that may be experiencing something that is a storm in your life. I talk to some of y'all on a regular basis. And every time I talk to you, you're going through a storm. Every time I talk to you, you're going through a storm. And you're blessed because God is allowing you to flourish these days, to this day. Every single person online that I know, God is allowing to flourish today. You're still working and you're still doing what God would have you to do. You still got income coming in the house. I know, because y'all don't ask me for no money. I'm joking. I'm kidding. But my point is, we will all go through storms. And it's not the storm that you go through, it's how you handle the storm. Do you drop anchor and stop and pray? Or do you do like these, those sailors, the ones that pretended to drop anchor and go put a lifeboat down so he can go ashore? Now, something that you don't know, if you read the rest of the text, read all the way to the 37th verse, Paul told them, if y'all put those boats down, y'all not going to survive. You get in the water and get in those boats, y'all not going to survive. The next day was daytime, and they were able to see the land, but they were able to determine that they weren't going to be able to survive anyway. God had already told Paul what was going to happen, what needed to happen, that their ship needed to run aground. God had already told them that. And I know in today's time, especially George and I can finally relate, running aground is not a cool thing to do. When you're on a Navy ship and you run aground, heads are rolling. People are getting fired. See ya. They got to spend lots of money repairing ships, which is a good thing for the crew because the crew gets to take some time off, especially depending on where you are. If you're overseas in a favorable port, you get to spend some time off enjoying the beach. But my wife knows as well, she's in the Navy. But the point is, in life, the ship that we're on in life, when you go through the storm, I beseech you to pray, to learn what it is that God wants to show you as you're going through the storm. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Father. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the word, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Father, that the word may have touched hearts, touched minds, Lord, that as we go through the storms that we go in life, whether we're talking about them audibly or we're talking about them in private, Father God, or we're just holding them in our hearts. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we will turn to you in this day as we go through the storms of life, that we'll turn to you and seek your face and understand and acknowledge what you have us to learn in these storms, that we not bail out, that we not jump ship, that we not go somewhere else, Father God, but we stay in the place that you've called us to stay, and we learn the message and the lesson that you've called us to lesson, that we grow in grace and the things that you've called us to grow in.
Thank you for tuning in to New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.